Your son Jesus Christ said, even you speaking in him, how often would I have gathered together, but you would not. And now your house is left unto you desolate. And we know that's true as far as Israel was concerned, but you had your elect. Those as the same time, the same way in the time of Elijah, 7,000 had not bowed the knee. And even so in this hour when you came down in your visitation, as the prophet said, when you see God come from the heavens and stand before men and declare himself as ever he did. And we know that, Lord, is by the human instrumentality, the prophet, even as through Jesus. The same has transpired in our day, wherein you would have gathered your people together, but the church has turned you down. And now they're left desolate to the extent we know when the great fire comes as a flood upon the earth, there'll be neither root nor branch. But there will be a chosen, virtuous virgin, Lord, that you have gathered yourself that's going to be taken out of here. And so, Lord, we are happy to be able to sing that song, All Things Are Possible, now that you're here. Because the possibility, Lord, does not lie within us as a people. We know it has to be you, even as the prophet said, when your son and daughter sinned in the Garden of Eden, you never sent a cherubim, an angel, or some emissary. You yourself came down. And so today, and we have comfort in that, Lord. And by your grace, Lord, by decision this morning, whether we are accepted or not, we come to thee, O God, and take our stand with you whatever way we can take it, Lord, trusting somehow that we are your seed by divine grace, and you receive us as lambs into that fold, Lord, and we depart to that great place where you want us to be at the marriage supper. Father, we commend ourselves to you this morning, knowing you are here, not in this church, Lord, as a pillar of fire, but you are amongst the bride, and that bride is called unto you, with whom there is neither space nor time, limitation, no way, any barrier. We are one with you, Lord, a part of that word forming up that body, which at the end time, positively, Lord, we trust and know by the word that even as Brother Branham said, if we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere. Someone is going to go in that rapture. As the trumpet calls, and that spirit that's in our midst becomes incarnated to us, to crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that will be the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Son of David, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the altogether sovereign Almighty God. So we commend ourselves today, Lord, as we study what you gave the prophet and he elaborated upon it. May we understand and know at least that which we have need of in this moment, we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, of course, we're at number 11. On the spoken word is the original seed. And as we go into this, we must remember again that this is an elaboration of what God gave Brother Branham. And he put it in the second sermon, number 2, which we read to you already. And at the same time, we must understand that Brother Branham, of course, is speaking as a vindicated prophet, and he puts his vindication forward. And at the same time, you will notice that he is speaking much about the bride at the end time, having traced the fall of Eve in the church right down the line and continues to do so, but showing us what God had showed him. Now, in order to start at some point in this message here, as a basis from which we will continue, that is, start to read and study, we will start on page 20 in paragraph 7 at the bottom. But before we do, we'll just review a little bit. Now, Brother Branham says, all creation, including all created life. Now, remember, there's such a thing as life that wasn't created. But all creation, animate, inanimate, you name it, what's ever there that is visible, even with the high-powered microscope, it doesn't make any difference, it is there. Even the atoms which are invisible, the wind that you can't see but knows it's there because the trees are bending low, you hear the sigh and all those things. All creation, including all created life forms, were spoken into existence. They were spoken into existence. If one were to ask the question, what is the source or where did all creation come from, the answer would be the Word of God. God spoke it into existence. It was not enough for God to think it, even to write it in his book, but he must speak it. Now, listen carefully. This even includes the beginning of all God's children, even though those children were a part of him and therefore eternal, but now fallen. So we go back. See, they fell away from God. They fell away from his jurisdiction by getting off the word. But if you look in Genesis 1, 26a and Genesis 27, and God said, notice, God said, there wouldn't have been one thing done except God said it. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. Now, to whom is God speaking? Page 15 of COD notes, but page 19, Brother Branham said, Father and Son. So what are you going to do about it? You're going to say, well, Brother Bale, you're preaching two gods, and go cuss Brother Branham up. Won't stand on his grave and jump up and down and scream. I'm preaching what he preached. I've been accused for years of preaching two gods. Either put up or shut up. Take the word and take Brother Branham. Show me he preached two gods. He said, we do not believe in oneness or trinity. We're in between. Does that mean two gods? Hogwash. Let us make man. He spoke it. Then it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And then in Genesis 2, it tells you how he put him in a body, formed him from the earth. And then it tells you how he separated them, put the male in a male body, a female in a female. Now, let's go back to Ephesians just for a second. And in there we begin to see the third verse, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. We were a part of him. This day have I begotten thee. This day have I started my generations in thee. And a generation, a seed shall be counted for a generation. Do you think up there that anybody in God's history on earth concerning man will be one day older than anybody else or one day younger? A seed is the generation. Who shall declare his generation? God will declare his generations. His generation, period. And he stands there, he'll praise God and recognize the fallen sons that he redeemed. Because they have one source. Huh? Hey, who wants to tell me I'm preaching two gods? Come on up. Let's have some guts in the morning. Come on. Who says I'm preaching seed wrong? Come on. Stand up here. I can be tough. You think I can't be tough? Hey, there's no tougher buzzard than a guy 78 years of age that's followed the prophet all these years and put his neck on the line. You show me. There's only two kinds of seed, circumcised and seed of God. And this even the seed of God is divided because there's wise and foolish virgins. You're very silent. And don't talk behind my back, or then come and confront me and tell me I'm cursed, that I've left the word. Now, the man that says that is telling me this one thing. I must come to him because he's not off the word. He's now going to instruct me. Now, you've been sitting here. And you don't catch these things after all these years? What's with you? Microphone down? Huh? Oh, here. Oh. Don't worry about that. Fall on the floor and give it to the paper. Paper all did cause trouble. The Jews got it on anyway. Where were they? And where were they? In him. And he said, if you didn't have representation back there, you don't have it now. All right. Not only so, but the same original seed word from which all manifestation came forth is nourished, supplied, and maintained by the same word. As Brother Branham said, his word all along. Even to the bride, he said, God did never take a cat cell and a dog cell and build an animal out of it. Now, man's trying to do it, and he'll do it. Shows how perverted he is. Boy, what a monster he'll get. He's the monster and doesn't know it. Back in the garden, the beast got with Eve. In an act of procreation, she brought forth Cain. And now man today is looking for an animal, part human and animal, to serve him. And he's the animal. How many true human beings are there in this world when eight people make the ark? Not very many. All right, Psalm 89. Let's take a look at the scripture and see how it is. 33 to 37. Nevertheless, my loving kindness, hope I got the right one here, will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie to David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon, and as a faithful witness in heaven. So God doesn't just start with his word. He continues with his word. And if you want to look to Matthew 4, and I'm sure you're way ahead of me already, Matthew 4 and 4, but he answered and said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So, the word is not only creative, the word is sustaining. It's just like your body. It was made out of the elements of the earth, and it demands those same elements in a chemical form that will feed you to maintain you. And if you miss one of those in the womb, you've got trouble. And if you miss it outside of the womb, you've got trouble. See? We should also know, again emphasizing, that God's word is pure, uncontaminated, and must never be altered. If you alter it, you watch what happens. A perverted seed comes in. And there cannot be a perverted seed unless there's a true seed that can be altered. In plain English, the Tibetans don't have near as much to worry about as the so-called Hebrews and Christians, nor to worry as much as the Muslims, who consider the first five books of the Bible theirs and claim that Allah is another name for God, which is an abysmal, rotten, filthy lie. It's the name of their devil god, the idol. And the word of God says, thou shalt not bear my name in vain, which means to take it out there and utilize it and use it. People say, well, take his name in vain is cursing. You're entirely wrong. It means to bear it. Don't you dare call yourself a Christian. And he said, in vain do you worship me. So how do you take the name of a Christian and be a sinner before God? Because you went off of his word. Don't you dare call yourself a born-again Christian and deny this vindicated word. And don't you dare accept that anyone is your brother in Christ Jesus who denies this word. Oh, brother, you're getting strong. Oh, for God's sake, what do you expect out of me? I said live, die, sink, or swim. All right. Let's just take a look at Psalm 12 and 6. See what he says about the unchanging word. The words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. And every word it tells you, that's the seven church ages of the Old and New Testament contain the same word and proves that it is the word of the living God. Seven brings perfection. When that which is perfect is come, which means in this hour the seven church age message, because God gave seven parts and this is the end of it. And yet people say, well, if that hasn't the real thing, we're looking for the real thing. Brother Branham said everything he gave under the seven seals would put you in the rapture. What are you looking for? Something else? How come it's hated? Live, die, sink, or swim, this is it. I'm going to ask you a question. If you've got the guts to raise your hand and say, Brother Vail, I'm one of those that... I hate that expression. I just can't stand it. Let me see. Come on, if you've got any guts this morning, you bunch of spineless, what are you? Do you think I'm mad? Well, to a degree I am. That's right. So I've told you, if you're fooling, I'm not. I had 1 hour sleep last night. Forgot that. How much did you lose? I'm going to be rough and tough, and I care less because I'm not here to hurt anybody. Okay. Psalm 19 and 8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The command of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Of course, that 119, that 19th psalm, you can go on and on. Then the 119th psalm, you can go on and on and on. But it says here in verse 140, thy word is pure, therefore thy servants love it. Yeah. The nominal Christian, the church doesn't love the pure word. That's why they crucified Jesus. They said, shut your fat trap. Raise the dead. Heal the sick, make the wine, feed the poor with loaves and fishes. Go ahead, but shut up. You don't believe that, do you? Come on, honest to God, you don't. Be honest with you. You don't really believe it. Or do you? I'm putting you to the test this morning. Do you really believe it? Do you really believe that this church could be closed down for this word of God? That they could come here and boil us in oil and do anything they want? And all we can pray is, oh God, just let me have enough strength to get through. No, it's nice for you to listen to the guy that says, well, I don't like that. I hate that phrase. I hate that. You know the difference between live, die, sink, and swim and cut bait or fish? You don't, do you? What have you been listening to for the last 15 solid years, 10, 12 years? But this isn't play. Let me tell you something. It feels very melodramatic. It feels very much like a play. But I got news for you. It is not a play. We will be caught in our physical, spiritual adulteries, our insensitiveness to the word of Almighty God, to the fact that He came here with His signs and wonders, as Brother Branham said, to woo us. And we came away prostitutes. You don't like preaching like that, do you? No, nobody does, because it nails you down. We don't want to get nailed down. That's like marriage is such a fiasco. You want to get, well, if this doesn't work, I'll get another floozy. Why'd you marry a floozy in the first place? Well, to be different. Is this a message to make us different, or is it different? Matthew 15:9. I'll hate myself tonight, maybe not sleep, because I preach so rough and tough. You say, well, Brother Vail, we didn't deserve it. Well, maybe you didn't. I'm not saying people here deserve it. I just want to put you on the spot to see if you're with me this morning. That's all. Or have I run in vain? The Apostle Paul brought it right to the people's attention. He said, have I run in vain? Have you run in vain? You were willing to give your eyes, he said, for me on the grounds of the gospel. What happened? What changed you? The word. They couldn't stand the word. Because Paul was a vindicated minister. And so was Reverend William Branham. And as long as he kept praying for the Pentecostals and putting the ice on the cake and the ribbons on the packages, oh, it is wonderful. Hallelujah, great man of God. Oh, yes, 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 yes. The minute he raised his voice and he enunciated one thing in the Word of God contrary, he was a no good bum. You know. Matthew 15:9, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Now, where do those commandments of men come from? They came from the original Word of God to which they added. And they prostituted the pure Word of God. They messed up. Seeing this, what we have just covered, what we're looking at, the pure Word of God, it's a spoken Word. As a preface to page 20, we find Brother Branham in paragraph 7 referring to what Jesus said to Nicodemus. As a seed, even as every word of God is a seed. Every word of God is a seed. That's right. Absolutely. It's a seed of God. Or that which contains the life or the nature of God. Now we're starting on page 20. See how far we get. Jesus answered and said, truly, truly, say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, what does that mean? Does it mean that he cannot see it entering in at the end time? No, it says here, he can't see the kingdom of God because all he can see is the cosmos of the world because there's two worlds. Peter said so. I'll read it to you. Now, this is not original. I got this from Dr. Pink. I won't tell you where I get my material. I'm not one of those guys say, well, I I'm taking somebody else's material and I'm not going to give him credit. You better believe I'm going to give credit. It says here in verse 5 of 2 Peter 2, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher righteous, bringing in the flood upon the world, the cosmos of the ungodly. Now, unless you're born again, you can't differentiate. So you're a perfect fall guy to be deceived by the world. In the devil. World, the flesh, and the devil. You'll never see the kingdom. You can't do it. See? They got to be born again. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born and he is old, and at the same time his mother's womb be born? And Jesus answered and said, truly, truly, said, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, or even the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now you notice one thing there. He can't see it without being born again. And if he sees it, how can he not help but go in? Because that's what he wants from the Garden of Eden. Right? Blessed are your eyes because they see the narrow way, the straight way and the narrow gate. Now, Brother Branham is talking. Is that a seed? What was said right here in these three verses? Every spoken word of God is a seed. That's right. I'm going to prove that just in a minute, where Jesus said so. Every word of God is a seed. Except a man be born again, why must he be born again? He's dead in the flesh that he's in. He's a hybrid. He's got to be born again. Why? He was born in sin from Eve's sin, shaped in iniquity, come into the world speaking lies. He's a liar to begin with, no matter how smart, educated, whatever more he is, he's a liar. The Bible says he is. How holy his parents were, or anything else about it. He's a liar to begin with. Now, he's talking about because of the flesh. Remember, he said, you bypassed your theophonic form, which was commensurate with the soul life which came from God. But you were given this flesh that could be tested and tried, and it fell. All right, that's why he tells you there'll come a time when you realize you always were saved. Just keep these things in mind as we read what Brother Branham is saying here, so we can place these things correctly. Now, he's a liar to begin with. And the only way he can tell truth is to say what truth is through his own lips. The only way he can tell truth is to say what truth is through his own lips. What's he telling you? You disregard everything that the mind says. And your mindset is a word set, and all you can do is repeat the word of God as is given to you, because it comes through the mouth. With the lips, the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. In other words, there's no man can bring truth out of himself. No way. He'll tell a lie every single time. So something's got to happen to him so he can speak the truth. Plain English, he tells you. Brother Branham is talking about himself. He said, I was shaped and conceived in sin, came to the world speaking lies like everybody else. How come he could stand there as a vindicated prophet? Because God put his words in his mouth. That's like he said to Moses, I'll be with your mouth. As he said to Jeremiah. See? He said, that's the only way truth can come. Anything contrary to the word, he's a liar yet. So now he's saying, all right, the vindicated word is the word of God, and there isn't any word outside of that that is true. He said, that's pretty flat. Now, let's just take a look at this. In this paragraph, number 7, it would seem that Brother Branham is teaching universal reprobation. And that surely a hog can be turned into a sheep by some divine alchemy of rebirth. This is not so. Since Brother Branham believed in foreknowledge, election, and predestination, he preached that there were two seeds. See? So what is he really saying? Is he talking over here in the book of Jude? Jude is a book of a warning. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied, beloved. When I gave all diligence right unto you, the common salvation was needful for me to write unto you, and exhort you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, no God in their lives, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord Jesus, even our Lord Jesus, Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Didn't Paul say the same thing? They got another one? I will therefore put you in remembrance, that though you once knew this, that's once for all, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believe not. Already the church had a mixed multitude. Already the three kinds were there. There was actually the wise virgin, the foolish virgin, the make-believer, and the unbeliever. And the angels that kept not their first estate, but left their own habitations, received an everlasting change of darkness and judgment of the great day. Even the Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves orders to fornication, going after strange flesh, are set for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Now that strange flesh is homosexuality. Likewise, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil and dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally. Naturally. See, it won't work. Got to be by lips. As brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they've gone the way of Cain. Serpent seed. And ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, false prophet, and perished in the gainsayings of Korah, rose up against the vindicated minister, which is Moses. They're going to teach Moses a few things, like some of these guys want to teach me. I'm not going to admit that I've got to go to them. I have to go to them for everything. Do you understand the seriousness of what I'm talking about? Well, somebody come up and correct me. Come on. Come on, get up here. You've been studying this for weeks, like one guy said, and he said, for two sermons now. I can't agree. I said, what's to agree? He's letting me know he studied, now he knows. Trump should come to him. Yeah. I refused. Refused flat. Well, I'm not a nice guy. Yeah. Do you want him responsible for this church? You want me to knuckle under? You wonder why I'm preaching hard? And I'll do it every time because I will not buckle unto anybody. Said, I've studied all week. The same guy told me back in 1977 when I preached on the presence, which is the appearing. He said, Brother Dale, thank God. I've been studying all week long and I agreed perfectly. He didn't even know what I was saying. You start it, I'll finish it. You respond for my salvation? When did I tell anybody to listen to me? But they don't mind saying, you listen to me. Like the one guy said, if Lee Bale would sit down, I could tell him a thing or two. Teach them a thing or two. So what about? Good question. What are these guys? Spots in your feasts of love. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds without water, carried about the winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Yeah. Sit right at the table of the Lord and call you liar. Say, just you come to me, bud, because I want to tell you something. I got the word. I got the word. Where's the vindication? I don't have any. You see, I've got a big responsibility preaching goes plumb around the world. Do these men want to take that responsibility? Or they do. They want to tell me. You wonder why I act unilaterally at times? I've got every right to. Do you believe, how many believe the Bible this morning? You really believe the Bible? You're just kidding yourselves. You're just kidding yourself. Right. Does not the word of God say, separate unto me Saul and Barnabas for the work unto I've called them? Who said that? The Holy Ghost. What did Barnabas do? He fought to get Timothy circumcised. He told Paul, I'm going to lead you. I want John Mark. And Paul didn't call a conference. He said, out! I'm not certain preachers who say, you better believe me, and you better be faithful to me. You ain't going to make the rapture. You could be faithful to me for the next 1,000,000 years and die in the lake of fire. I'm not vindicated. But before God, I try to preach this 100% with the prophet and search the word to know that I'm coming as close as I possibly can, knowing that God, if I'm a seed of his, and the prophet said I was, you do what you want about that statement too. Oh, well, Brother Bill, who else heard it? Is it on the tape? Bible open, white throne, a God in heaven. I'm not lying. Those aren't all the words. It's pretty close to being 100% word for word. There's other words that preceded it. So I'm on the spot. Do you want the job? Okay. Here we're reading it. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, whom is reserved the blackness of darkness, revenue. Enoch also, the seventh man, and prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord comes to 10,000 to execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are ungodly among them that are all, among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed ungodly, and so on down the line. Murmurs, complainers, walking after their own lust, their mouth speaketh great swelling words, like Lee Vale. I could teach you a few things, just listen. His vindication is my dad told me that I know the message better than Lee Bell. And I'm supposed to tell you folk, hey, I'm going to step aside and let this man teach me. Is that what's going on here in the church? The problems that arose came from that very spirit. I never asked for them. I just stood with the word. And that's my whole problem. That's my whole problem. Yeah, I read about it here in the Bible. Having men's person in admiration because of an advantage. I've got an advantage. I've been accused of being a top dog. I didn't know I was a dog. And if I was, why does this guy want to be a dog along and a top dog? I've heard a top cat. Listen, the way I'm talking this morning is because you realize Alpha is Omega. Alpha is Omega. Alpha is Omega. And what happened there is happening now, even a poor little guy like me. And I ain't worthy of anybody's attention and time. But beloved, remember the words that were spoken before of the apostle Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you there should be mockers in the last time and should walk after own ungodly lust. These being they who separate themselves, sins, you'll not have in the Spirit. But you, beloved, building up yourself the most holy faith and so on. Now, I'm not going to take you to 2 Peter because it's the very same thing. What I'm trying to show you here. There are reprobates who under no condition can be born again. They are brute beasts. They say, Brother Bale, you're judging. Why don't you shut up and listen?
Read it for yourself. Stick your head in the sand. That's your privilege. But don't ask me to do it. Because I'm not going to do it. Reprobates. William Branham is not talking of reprobates. Because a reprobate cannot be born again. There is no such thing as the doctrine of universal reprobation, which means every one of us is born a pig, and by divine amalgamy, become a sheep. Understand what I'm saying? Well, I hope you do. Now, let's go to Romans 3 and begin to see what Brother Branham is actually saying here. Because if you don't know your Bibles, you're going to get thrown for a loop. Now, what then are we better than they? No and no wise, for we have proved both Jew and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it's written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They have together become rotten fruit. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throats an open sepulchre, with their tongues they've used deceit, the poison asp on the lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed innocent blood, destruction, misery in their way. The way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, is said on them that are under law, that every mouth might be stopped, and all the world become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight for the law, by the law of the knowledge of sin. Every one of these things here are outlawed by the word of God. Not to legislate morality, but to show that you're sinning. And there isn't anybody that isn't a sinner, shapen in sin, conceivably coming to the world speaking lies. You understand what I'm saying? Let's keep going. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, unto whom these birds here that are under sin, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ, whom God has sent forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. That other bunch that are reprobates do not believe in him. So you understand, Brother Branham is not dealing with reprobates. He's dealing with fallen mankind. Now go to Romans the 5th chapter. Beginning at verse 6. For when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And who are they? The chosen in God, in Christ before the foundation of the world, sinners black as night. That's what he's showing you. He's not teaching universal reprobation. He's teaching the universality of sin. They were all born in sin, shaped in iniquity. All right. Now, back to paragraph. On page 25 and 1. Now, he said, I'm sending forth the spiritual water. That's the seed. And it'll produce just exactly. It'll produce miracles. It'll produce the power of God. It'll not deny anything because it's a kindred seed with the seed. And it can't say, Mr. Cocklebur, you come live with me. No, no, sir. No, no. It won't do it. No, indeedy. It just won't mix. You can't mix life and death. You can't be alive and dead at the same time. He's talking about the seed of God in contradistinction to the seed of the devil. And when you look at the seed of God and the seed of the devil, let me tell you one thing. The seed of God in its natural ignorant state apart from God will do things that the seed of the devil many times won't even think about doing. How could David, with his mouth full of the Psalms, "They wounded my hands and my feet," saw the glory of God. 499 wives be driven by lust looking at a woman. Instead of going to his own wife, he takes her. And of course, she's happy to be seduced by the king. Gets her pregnant, kills her husband. Now, William Branham said he believed David was the greatest man ever lived, because man after God's own heart. Well, hallelujah. Let's go and have seed. See, you never were born again. Here's the serpent seed right there. Tells you what you are. You're not a seed of God. No. No, you can't do that, the Bible. What he's showing you. Everyone is condemned under sin. Now, notice it says in that same paragraph, he is dead in the flesh that he is in. He's a hybrid. He's got to be born again. Why? He was born in sin from Eve's sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the world telling lies. Now, what was Eve's sin? She got from behind the word. It was added to, and we showed you she's foolish virgin. Right away, the pains become a childbirth. Not a curse now. No, plagues are added. That's why Brother Branham said, everyone born of her, because of what she did with the serpent, every graveyard is filled. Every hospital, every dying baby, every disease, every cripple, everything came from this. Are you listening? Well, maybe you could do better. See, Brother Bear, when you get off my back, never from this point on. Never from this point on. Don't anybody ever come near me and tell me, "You got something to teach." Get your own soapbox. You pay for it. You pay the price that I've gone through. Eve sinned, not Adam. There's $50,000 riding on what I'm going to say. $50,000. The Bible open, raise your hand toward heaven. Did you know what I'm going to say after I preach it? Did you already knew it? You could come and tell me something. Ready? Eve sinned, not Adam's. She's the one that did it. Now watch what happens to Adam. First Corinthians 6 chapter. Verse 13, meats for the belly and belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Eve. What did Brother Branham say? Kids came the wrong way through Eve. How are they to do it? Of course, they would have come to it. But it wouldn't have been the curse and the pain and the agony. Woman dying in childbirth. Varicose veins, terrible hemorrhoids that hang out like grapes. Yeah. Burning, itching. Women know what I'm talking about. I'm a father. I know what happened to women. Let's keep reading. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise us up by his own power. Now we're looking down the road. When this is really going to come to pass, It blew it in the garden. Now watch. Know ye not that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? God forbid. What, know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two saith he shall be one flesh. But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. This man, Adam, as Brother Branham said, joined himself to the prostitute Eve.
Oh, Brother Dale, that's too hard. I can't preach that because of the prophet.
You still believe the message? You want to go home? Who's going to take the first 50,000? You want to try for the next 50,000? Let me tell you something. God never... Nobody in this congregation or outside the congregation called me. I got my call years ago. And I'm going to tell you one thing. If you've had a call and you disobey, God will kill you. And if you think I'm lying, you go to Brother Branham's own brother, Howard, that wouldn't answer the call. Booze was too strong for him. Women were too enticing. And cigarette smoking too good. And one day Howard got out his black suit, his lovely suit, and he said, I'm dying. Oh, they said, no, Wolfbone Bill, you'll be all right. You've had these heart attacks. But Howard, he said, just a minute, I'm dying. God told me I'm going. Cleaned his life up and took him away. Come on now. Well, Daddy told me. You call to God? You'll pay a price. You just think you know. Let me tell you something. I look back on my life and it was a bowl of cherries. A bed of roses. But I thought I was going through hell. I was just a tough customer who needed all the spots bumped off, and they're not bumped off yet. But if you think I've got malice and hatred, you are wrong and your heart is lying to you. I hang tough and I preach tough. And I ask the prophet, may God take it away. There's no way to go. I'm going to hang tough and preach tough. I'm going to pray one thing. God, if it's my turn to die on a cross, Jesus, just give me grace to love you enough to do it. So where's anybody else going to come from? Forget it. Forget it. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Eve left him. The spirit was in the Garden of Eden. She left him. She became a harlot. Yeah. And Adam joined himself to her. Became one flesh to the harlot. And you think you're not born a hybrid, as Brother Branham said? I don't think that word is really what he meant. And yet, who am I to say? He called her a byproduct. She was a hybridizer. Okay. Let's go a little further. We go to 1 Timothy. Now, before I read this, I'm going to tell you calmly. As I said a while ago, I slept about 1 hour last night. I've been in a living hell for weeks that I didn't ask for, that I warned and exhorted about. My knees and my body's been like rubber. And I'm 78. And I'm still standing here for one reason, because of you people, whether you know or not. Now, I can leave out here. If you give me permission, say, Brother Vail, you're off the hook. I'll go west and never preach again. Now, you wonder why I talk this way. Is when are you going to smarten up? It's not nice standing all alone. But if I got to do it, I got to do it.
My books are open to the IRS and to anybody here. Be my guest.
No problem. Because I'm accused of that also.
1 Timothy 2. Verse 11, but with the, let the women learn in silence with all subjection. See, the woman, the minute Eve opened her mouth to talk to the old boy in the garden, that old devil there, she blew it. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived. But the woman being deceived was in the transgression, nevertheless shall be saved in childbearing. They continued faith and chair and horses riding. Now Adam himself knew the word and didn't add or take from it. In deception. He did what I said myself years ago, and Brother Branham had already confirmed it on a tape. He played God. And he took Eve before God could kill her or do anything. The same as Sarah was a part of Adam. When she about Abraham, I beg your pardon. And she stood there and lied. Let's now go to 2 Corinthians. The 11th chapter. And in there you will see, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. If I've espoused you to one husband, I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguiled thee through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Notice. He says to this virgin bride, as Eve was corrupted through sexual intercourse with the beast, now your minds have become the womb for the living God to bring forth by transformation and transfiguration what you missed at the tree of life. Every born again saint of God, this bride, let us understand this perfectly. She dies with that womb of the mind intact. She goes down to the grave and she comes back in the very image in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, being member of his members. She's virgin, wise, inhabits the New Jerusalem. Those on the outside, I don't know that they have that identical body because they're not full of the Holy Ghost. And they're not full of the Holy Ghost because there's not a place in there for the Word. And the Word's the conduit. That's where every spoken word is living with the very life of God and cannot change. And he said, for he that cometh preaches another Jesus, preaches another gospel, talks about another spirit, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and the same thing. Now listen, this is what we are looking at, Eve's sin. We saw how Adam got taken in. This caused the universal problem. The answer is, the body God gave her, which body of flesh could be tempted, was given over to deception and sin. And then she caused Adam to fall with her, and now every person's body is a death trap and a graveyard. See? Romans, the 7th chapter, verse 18. For I know that in me, that's in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Now that's what you're like when you're the seed of God and apart from God in the body that is not a word body, but a flesh body that can be tempted and fall into sin because of your five senses. And that's murder when it's connected to your spirit, because your spirit gets in your kicking body of muscles and nerves to give you that life and that animation, and it's a part of your mind. But in your soul, which all of it was not created, or if a part of it was created, there's a part in there that was not created, which is the gene of God when he breathed the Holy Ghost into Adam. Now, notice what Paul said. I want it. I'm stuck. But listen, let's read on. For the good that I would do, for the good that I would, I don't do it. I got good intentions, but they fall flat. And the evil that I would not, I make my my promises, my New Year's resolutions, I don't keep them. Now, if I do that, what I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, and bring me into captivity the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who should deliver me from this body of death? Now, that 25th verse, according to some, should be left out. Read anyway. I thank God through Jesus Christ the Lord. That's the part they said should be left out. And I believe it should be. Because it should go on. Who should deliver me? When the body hits, he's crying out. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. With the flesh, the law of sin. Now, where is his deliverance? Watch it in the 8th chapter. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, the word, who walk that flesh and spirit, that's wrong. That shouldn't be there. It's down below. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. And Brother Branham said, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you are as far as you can get toward being that word, body, or theophany that you bypassed. Because now you can overcome and live in it. And piling word upon word, you go up in the stature, which I can say honest to God, if it isn't by grace, I haven't attained it, and I wonder if I ever will. Outside of a resurrection. Now, in my own mind, I'd say, well, I'll never attain it. But the mind of God's a different thing. Because if he spoke it, I'm going to get it. If he spoke it, you've got it also. So here's what you're looking at. In this particular seventh paragraph, and that's all we got time today to look at, he is not speaking of reprobates. He's not speaking of serpent seed. Although they're in there. But they can't repent and be born again. Now let's read the paragraph 7 from He's a Liar. He's a liar to begin with. No matter how smart, educated, whatever more, he's a liar. The Bible says he is. How holy his parents were, anything else, he's a liar to begin with. In other words, he's born that way and he just can't help it. He is that way. As the Bible said, can the leper change his spots or the Ethiopian his skin? Neither can you, who are evil, do good. You're stuck. No one's going to get you unstuck. A true baptism with the Holy Ghost. See? The only way he can tell the truth is to say what truth is through his own lips. That's the only way truth can come. Anything could trade the word, he's a liar. He's telling you right here, you've got to go to the Word of God and quote that Word of God, as Paul said in Romans 10. It's the only way you can have truth. You can't think it. You can't devise it. You can't argue it. You can't reason it. You can't compare. You're S-T-U-C-K stuck until God gets a hold of you. Romans the 10th chapter. Now, verse 6, but the righteousness which is of faith speaking on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That's bring Christ down above. Who shall descend thee? That's to bring him in. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, even in thy heart. But it's got to be in your mouth first. You've got to recognize this is something from the mouth of God to you. And you don't have one thing to do with it. William Branham, prophet of God, didn't have one thing to do with the doctrines of God. No way, shape, and form. If anybody thinks that, you don't even know what vindication is. You don't have an idea of what a prophet is. You're a million miles from the truth. You're just kidding yourself. Now, you're welcome to take up a seat and keep it warm. It helps keep the bills down in the wintertime, giving off some heat. I mean it and I don't mean it. Try to relax a little bit. You're welcome. But I'm trying to show you something here. Look, you've got to understand this is the word of God that the prophet is preaching. It's not William Branham's ideas. He is neither a Calvinist nor an Arminian. He is a word prophet of God, which is neither Calvinistic or Arminian. Because both have the roots in the Bible, and both are wrong, because they're going to wrong direction. Oh, my, people, I'll talk on that sometime. Ask me a question sometime. I don't know. Now, let's go back and read the whole paragraph again. Is that a seed? Every spoken word of God is a seed. That's right. I'm going to prove that in just a minute where Jesus said every spoken word of God is a seed. Now, he's talking about this. You must be born again. If you must be born again, you cannot change it. You've got to be born again. And no matter what you believe that means to you, it had better be the way God means it. See, Nicodemus said, how can a man be born again? He said, Nicodemus, you're a master in Israel and don't understand what's going on in your tribes. What happened when a man wanted to go from one tribe to another, a Gentile, come into Israel? They had to be baptized 100% in water all the way down, buried, signifying they have now died out completely to everything they ever were, and rise up again. How do you think that these men came into David's army and joined themselves with Israel? They had to go through the process. So Nicodemus understood there is a way to be born again, and you don't go to your mother's womb, and you don't die and come in a resurrection, but there is a way it can be done. So Jesus just slapped him down. He said, are you a master of Israel? He said, come. You're the big shot in this area. Hey, man, the world looks to you. Israel looks to you. And I tell you a simple thing that you already know about, and it boggles your mind. You see, I don't think Jesus would talk that way. He doesn't, but I do. And how do you know he doesn't? How do you know he doesn't? Didn't he say, oh, fools and slow heart? Didn't he say to those wise guys that turned him down, oh, you're so spiritual. You can tell red sky at night, the sailor at night, red sky in the morning, sailor warning. He said, oh, boy, can you tell the signs? But he said, when I give you the sign of the prophet, suddenly, you're gone. Oh, you're smart. Clever boys. All right. That's right. I'm going to prove that in a minute, where Jesus says every spoken word of God is a seed. All right? A seed with power to bring forth what it was sent for to accomplish, which means to develop into and give the results of what is sent for. So, the Word of God is the only way you can be born again. That's what Peter said, being born again. Not a corruptible spora, but by the Word of God which lives and abides forever. Peter is quoting this in 1 Peter. He said, every spoken word is the seed of God. Of God is the seed. Every spoken word of God is the seed. And then he said, then expect a man be born again? Why must he be born again? He's dead in the flesh that he's in. He's a hybrid. He's got to be born again. Why? He was born in sin from Eve's sin. Right on down. Now watch, in paragraph 8, we'll just barely touch it. He says, there, that's pretty flat. But that's what God said. Now watch. Let every man's word be a lie, but mine be true. Every word that denies the rebirth according to what God said and how he meant it, there's no explaining it away. The truth of the matter is you can be born of the Spirit because you were born of the flesh. And at that time, your soul did not produce that theophonic form. So now you're going to get what it takes to take you back to that form and give you a resurrected body. But you've got to be born again. Because that's what we're talking about here. See, anything that comes from his lips contrary to deny this word or put it in some other race or some other generation or whatever it is, he's a liar. That's exactly right. He's got to be born again. And watch. And then he sees every word. Sees the kingdom to enter in. The only way he can be born again is that life of God in him to produce that light. What light? The eternal light. Kingdom light. Born again light. Real light. See? He's got to have that light. Now listen, you can read this different ways. And I can read it another way. He's got to be born again. The only way he can be born again is that life of God that's already in him. That soul, that little light, that little seed that's hidden in the darkness and the bogs and swamps and the fens of sin, dark slime, like Mr. Lily way down there in the mud. That little seed. See, now watch. In him to produce that light. The born again light. If you weren't seed, you're never going to be seed. And even then, you can be that seed, which is foolish virgin. You'll not miss it. You'll get there. But you'll be outside of the holy city. Now let's read the next paragraph there. He said, the only way he can be born again is that life of God in him to produce that life. A seed must have water to grow. Now you put a seed in the ground, and if there's no moisture in the ground, it's dust. It won't grow in the dust. What is your body but ground? That's all you are, humus. That's it. All right. A seed must have water to grow. Now you put a seed in the ground, and there's no moisture in the ground, it's dust. It won't grow in the dust, it can't. It's got to have a certain percent of moisture, or it won't grow. In other words, we're dry seeds. Is that right? The letter killeth, the Spirit gives us light. That's what Paul said in Romans 7. Now it must have moisture to grow. So what's he saying? There's a seed in there with the possibility, not just possibility, the certainty, if you're a child of God, that's absolutely guaranteed to give you what you were supposed to have as a child of God, but you're dry. Now how are we going to start you moving? We're going to pour water on you. Yep. The letter killeth. Ain't going to help you. There was no commandment that could give righteousness or life. But it proved going against the word of God caused death. Is that right? He said, the letter killeth, the Spirit gives life. See, now it must have moisture to grow. His word is the seed. Now to prove that, let's turn to Luke the 8th chapter 11 verse. Right on down, said, when they were gathered together, there came a lot of people to the city, and he spoke, and he said, a sower went forth to sow. As he sowed, some fell by wayside, trodden down, fowls ere devoured, some fell on a rock, sprung up, withered away, lacked moisture. Moisture, Baptist, Presbyterians, Lutherans, without water. When he's first converted to look straight to Christ, he believes, and the first thing you know, that denomination binds him to a place, the moisture of the Spirit gone from him. He becomes denomination, he's dead. Only that was Pentecost, said, don't believe that. I know many of you don't, but just wait a little bit. You'll see whether the Bible states that or not. All right, lack of moisture. 6th to 8th verse, the lack of moisture, and some fell amongst thorns. Thorns choked it. See, what was that? He goes in and tells that some, as soon as they get to be, I'm not pulling my punches now, and he talks to a full gossip businessman, the cares of the world, just die out there. And talk about women bobbing their hair, you can't be spiritual if you own a Cadillac, and so on. And then he says, and fell on good ground, and sprung up and bare fruit. And when he said these things that he'd asked me to let him hear, what a parable. His disciples said, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom. Mystery, see what he's talking about. Now watch, what's the mystery of the kingdom? Mystery of the kingdom, but to others in parables, and seeing they might not see, and hearing they might understand,
See, but God's word came right down to the judgment to judge them because they did see it. It was there. They knew better. Now, you see, he's bringing you right today of what happened in the vindicated ministry.
It's the same Spirit of God. It's the same word. The same one that came to Paul bringing it is the same one here revealing it. And Brother Branham's explaining it. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. That's a dogmatical, critical statement of doctrine.
So don't try to change it. What is the seed of light? The word of God. Therefore, for light, you can't come through a creed. You can't come through a denomination. You've got to come back to the word. Now, the seed of light.
Look, he's talking to the seed. He's not talking to reprobates. Primarily, he's even talking to the wise virgin because the foolish virgin doesn't have oil in the vessel. It's leaked out. In other words, the word is gone. They don't have the word. So what do? They die in the tribulation. They're hunted down as dogs. Because why? The church is purged. Israel's purged. The world is purged.
And the church purged is the foolish virgin. See? All right, his word is his seed, and his spirit is the water. Now we're going back. Let us make man in our image. Him in the image of God created male and female created them. He put them in bodies, and then he first one body. Then he breathed in Adam the breath of lives. Exactly right. That's that soul coming down by natural election. Coming out of the park, coming right on down. You say, how is that? Because Brother Branham said that Levi was in his great-great-grandfather Abraham, the same as you and I were in our father. Come on, you can't have the cake of stupidity and eat it and not die in ignorance. Get the truth this morning. You were in your father. And it goes all the way back to Adam where that seed was handed down. And when Jesus came, he took part of it. He didn't take all of it. The Bible says so. There was no serpent seed in him. There's no rotten flesh in him. Showing that God has arms and hands and legs, everything else. Now, you're going back to the fact that the spoken word is seed. God started with that seed. It went into a perversion. The whole thing became hybrid. The sons of God fell into the sins of what? The sins of using their senses instead of the word of God. Now you say, just a minute then, Brother Bill. Why did Brother Branham say they would have come to it later, which is a sexual act to bear children? That's exactly the truth. There would not have been children born in the wrong way. Look at the animal world. Only at a certain time for a certain purpose. But males got carried away. And women also, I'm sorry, have got themselves in pure sexual pleasure from which children are born and no other way when it wasn't meant to be that. And even Sarah understood that. At her age, you're going to bear a child. And she said, shall me and my Lord have sexual pleasure again? Ha, ha, ha. If it wasn't sexual pleasure, let me tell you flat, Isaac would not have been born. Because it takes stimulated organs to bring back, to bring an ejaculation, an orgasm, whatever you want to call it, and thereby conception takes place. There were no test tubes then, and as far as God's concerned, there are no test tubes now. So write it down plain. This is exactly what Brother Branham is talking about. Here it is, all written out, spoken words, original seed, and people still wonder. Why do you wonder? It's right here. Well, we trust we answered that question. Now, I read this all on purpose. And I don't want to comment on it because I don't think we are needing to look at it. Because there is a seed in dry ground. And notice what it says in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. It says, who hath believed our report, and who hath the arm of the Lord revealed?
He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. The complete association with this man, Christ Jesus, as a man, as though he were not the Son of God, and God incarnating himself in him. So this is the supreme deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, call it what you will. One God.
Only the Jesus only and Trinitarians can't understand this. We know what we're talking about. So here it is. What were we looking at? See? Now, he took a part of the same we mentioned. This one here, out of dry ground. In other words, the human race could not of itself produce the seed, even though it was said unto Eve she would have the seed. But I'm going to tell you something. That seed that Jesus talked about had already been written in the book and was already their own prophetic understanding, not understanding perhaps, but promise, before they were even in the garden, even as every single thing in this book is billions and trillions and infinite ages old. But waiting to come forth in his due and accepted time. So he was born in the due season, even as you and I are. Dry ground. Let the word of God come knocking, anointed by the Holy Ghost. Watch the heart begin to respond by way of the mind. Something begins to click. Something you know there. Knocking at the door. And if it's a seed, there's always the welcome answer. Come in, come in. I accept this. Now, the seed comes to life. That's your rebirth. Explain it, brother. As simple as ABC, I just did. It tells you that unto those that die, the preaching of the gospel is stupid foolishness. But unto us who believe, it is the wisdom of God and the power of God, because it brings us salvation. But only if you're seed. Say this morning, oh God, water the seed within me. How's it going to be done? By the word of the living God. The vindicated word falling upon the dry ground and bringing forth eventually into the likeness of Jesus Christ. That's all we've got time for. I'm sorry that the way these sermons go here, they're disjointed, but hey, look, I never preached it. I don't know where he starts one thing and ends another thing. I just got to go till I got an hour and a half into it. Now, see, by next Saturday night, I can turn around and find enough notes to bring you up to date. I don't know. Make it easy to go on. But that's all I can do. Well, the Lord bless you. And if you think I've been tough, I have been. I'm not lying, not apologizing. But if I have to keep reiterating this pulpit, there's something wrong somewhere. I have to keep cleaning the air. If you don't want it, just tell me so. No problem. The Nazarene church down my way right now is for sale, and I can buy it. Then I'll have an audience very, very quickly. But I'm tired of this loose talk that goes around. That's always condemning me in my ministry. And haven't got the guts to stand up here and say, all right, we're going to show you where you're wrong. And even if they try, nobody's vindicated. You say, you're walking off on a bluff. I'm not walking on any bluff. It's God's truth as I stand here before you. I told you time and time again, I can prove nothing. I've had visions like all of you put together cannot even begin to come to mind. I prophesied right on the button. It doesn't mean a thing. Any false anointed, any reprobate like Judas, can have as much and more than I have ever produced. Now the point is, do you have any faith in what you're being taught? That's the whole thing. And you that don't have any faith, please don't go around and then blame somebody else. See? You're on your own this morning from this point on. Because old Lee Vale ain't what he used to be. I can tell you that. Even to survive an operation might not be easy, but I don't know. I'm not trying to get your sympathy, but I'm just telling you plain facts. Look, I do my suffering at home. I've not asked for anybody's money. I don't take it. In spite of the fact of the accusations that I get tied from this guy and send that guy back money and so on, like it's a crooked deal that the IRS would frown upon. Look, I know what the IRS asked. My books are in perfect order. Nobody's pulling any deals. Although the guy that wanted to struck me, he'll tell you, oh, yeah. You want my books open? Do it now. Let's do it now while I got a little bit of health and all. So the fat's in the fire. I didn't put it there. But it's in the fire. You got a meeting? Couple of you can take over. Come on, come ahead. I'm going to close in prayer and I'm going to be gone. You come on. Come on ahead. You can take over. Because at your end of this morning, I have not one thing to do with. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I know I haven't done my best. Many stretched imagination. I haven't kept my spirit down even. I know it hasn't been the best. I admit to you this morning that, to the people here. And I don't say I'm really repentant of it. I'm caught in the backlash that I never started in one thing about. Maybe I have to overstretch my liberty. I wouldn't argue that either, Lord. But I know one thing, Father, that there is forgiveness, except for one thing. And that's blaspheming the word and making your word a lie by connotations which are not of you. Now you, Lord, you know my heart. And you're the only one that can judge if I've tried to preach the truth or not. I was even called by you. Even stood with the prophet. Nobody can prove anything. And it's a matter of faith. And I've laid my faith out, Lord God, before the people for these years and years. And if their faith is not laid beside mine, and certain people can abide the vicious attacks, the things that are said, and then expect people to just sit back and tolerate it, Lord, I must be honest. I don't find Paul doing that, and I don't find anybody in the Bible. I don't find even John, the lovely one, doing it. I don't see the house of God becoming a place that men can come in and attempt to destroy because they hold, as though it were to some advantage, men's admiration. So this morning, Lord, even my praying is out of line. I will not carp and be critical, Lord, if I'm reprimanded. I know I'm fallible. I know I can make mistakes. I know I can push things very, very hard. But I also believe in my heart, Lord, that I can stand for you and for this word as I believe was brought by a vindicated prophet. And if in my heart, Lord, in my mind, and these things are understood right and the people understand right, whatever the pressures of tribulation, those things that come upon me and upon them in this world which is right at hand here in the hour to come. If we're hunted down like dogs, we're kicked out of here, Lord. It's the strangest thing, Lord. I don't know if that's the spirit of this hour that we've been given to be like the cattle, the face, that is the face of a calf, the suffering. When this is the face of the eagle. Perhaps it means rapture. Perhaps it just means eagle screaming and coming down, standing in the face of every wind and everything that comes. I don't know, Lord. But I know, Father God in heaven, that the one who brought this word, which we believe you brought it, vindicated to us, the life and the power of this word, Lord, in your bride. If there is a bride, we're part of that bride. We don't have one worry or one care in the sense, Father, that will ever be deserted, because as we stand with this word, Lord, and we're trying to stand with the word, somehow, Lord, the life of the word is going to stand with us. Bless us throughout the week, Father. Whoever, whatever comes back Saturday, let it be with the understanding and the truth and the faith. And no one's trying to deceive anybody. Nobody wants, at least I don't want anybody's ministry, Lord. You know, for years I didn't even want mine. And you whipped me within an inch of my life. So God in heaven, whatever it is, I pray that somehow you can look through our dross and our problems and our wrong reactions and those things, Lord, that attach themselves so violently and easily to us, that you forgive us through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and further sanctify us by the word of grace and the Holy Ghost to walk more upright than ever before, and to learn to disdain those things that must come upon us, O God, and not take them in hand to defend ourselves. But, Lord, we are able to witness, I do believe. So whatever the law is, whatever it is this morning, Lord, I cast the whole thing upon you, O God, and trust for your helpfulness, your blessing, and all those things that you've ordained in your word for a bride, Lord. By grace and thoughts of grace, we claim a portion of it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior.